Father, as we go to your word this morning, we sense your presence. We understand, Lord God, that you desire every time that we get together to minister to us, to meet a need, to show and reveal yourself in a tremendous way. I ask, Lord Jesus, that as we just go to your word and we look at being thankful, Lord God, that we would just open our hearts open to you, that we would allow you to speak to us, and that, Lord God, your anointing would fall fresh on the word in our time. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to look at being thankful. You can turn to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be there. Just kind of hold your finger there. Very end of the sermon, is we're going to be in that scripture verse. And you know, when you start to talk about thankfulness, and you start talking about gratitude, and you start talking about being grateful for things that people do in your life, most of the time, it's associated with you getting something and then being appreciative of it. But what happens when you forget what God has already done? What happens when you forget what your parents have done? What happens when you forget about someone that has helped you out along your journey? The principle that God really wants us to see that is that thankfulness is a lifestyle. Can you say amen to that? Thankfulness is a lifestyle. It's not only saying thank you and being appreciative for the things that people do for you that have come your way in your journey and the things that God has done, but it's a lifestyle. It's living that lifestyle. And if you don't think sometimes that don't work, if you don't believe me, think about some other kids, somebody else's kids. Wink, wink, it's not ours. You see me, I'm winking. It's not ours. It's somebody else's kids that you notice that have been not thankful, that you look at them and you wonder sometimes if please and thank you is even in their vocabulary. And then sometimes you see it just carries right on to the adults, where you see that, you know, we all know people that we've been associated with that have been very ungrateful for things that are done for them or given to them, and they almost approach life with this entitlement of, God, you owe me. You owe me, you know, people owe me, the government owes me, everybody owes me, and has this attitude about entitlement, and they miss out, and they seem like they're suppressed, they seem like they struggle. You've all heard the illustration, I've used it before, of the mother that the little boy comes over hollering at his mother and says, give me an orange. And the mother brings him an orange and hands him so sweetly, and what do you say? He says, peel it. That's the kind of attitude sometimes that we see, and it actually gets frustrating in our own lives, and if we're not careful, it begins to be in our lives. And last week we looked at settling issues in our lives, and we saw that really sometimes there's certain things that have to be settled in our lives for us to move forward and be able to do what God wants to do in our lives, and we have to be able to look at these things, these internal issues, and be honest with God and honest with ourselves and realize that there are things that keep us from going forward. And sometimes if we're not dealing with it, we're actually going backwards. And you have to settle the internal and external fears that are in our lives, whether it would be something that hinders you or whether it's something that you need to do and you're not doing. This morning, I really want to just center in on two things really quick, is looking at being grateful, looking at being thankful, looking at living that out. Wouldn't this world be better if more people were thankful? Wouldn't this world be better if there would be more please and thank yous? Wouldn't this world be better if the anger issues were settled? Couple of scriptures I want you to meditate on for a minute and think about and maybe write these down. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Then it goes on in Psalms 9:1 says, I will give thanks to you, Lord. With all my heart, I will tell of your wonderful deeds. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the last one here, let us come before Him with thanksgiving. Let us come before Him with thanksgiving and extol Him with music and song, for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. You see some directives here. You see some directives that say, give thanks. You see some directives that say, I will. Remember last week we talked about Joshua and he says, as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. So you see the verse here, I will worship God. I will love the Lord with all my heart. And then you see the warnings that Paul gives us. Do not be anxious for anything, but in everything give thanks. Individually and corporately, we need to be coming and being grateful. Individually and corporately, we need to be worshiping God. If, like I said before, if you're coming only and you only speak to God during a Sunday morning for an hour and a half, you're going to starve to death. You're going to live a life that is less than what God wants you to be, because our attitude should be praise. Our worship of God should be every day. Our communication with God is every day. The scripture says, let us, meaning community, let us as a group come together and share God's word. Share God's thoughts, allowing God to fall fresh on each and every one of us. This week, TV anchor Matt Lauer, watching some of the news, and Matt Lauer was asked, what would you say to a younger Matt Lauer if you were able to do that? How many would know what you would say to a younger you now that you've been a few years older? They asked Matt Lauer that, and he said, you know what I would do? And I'm not sure where Matt Lauer's at in his spiritual walk, but he said, I would write down and remember more things that I've done. That's kind of good advice when you stop and think about it. If we took a journal and we wrote down things that have happened to us and we kind of kept it in a journal form, chronological order, then you know what we would find? Those times that we felt like God wasn't there, we'd see that actually He was. All those times, we would remember how many times God did bail us out. How many times that we prayed a prayer and we were mad at the time that God didn't answer it. And now you think, oh, thank God that you didn't answer that prayer, Lord. How many have that? You know, how many have recognized that? And you think that, you know, so yeah, write it down. Take notes. Remember more of the things that we go through in our life and more of the things that God did. We would remember more times that God intervenes in our life. Amen. We would have these times, and we would remember more. And as a Christian, thankfulness and gratefulness should be the qualities that we live out in our lives. You will never be the Christian God wants you to be with an ungrateful heart. Oh me or amen, whatever you want to say. But it's true. You will never be where God wants you to be. You will never do all that God wants you to do with an ungrateful heart. Without them, gratefulness and thankfulness, we get wrapped up in ourselves. We get wrapped up in the circumstances. We get into this rut. How many know exactly what it means? A rut is just a hole that you can't get out of. And we create this rut, and we create these circumstances, and we create these situations, and we keep looking at them. And then some of you are sitting here, you know what, Pastor, I've heard this now. You've kind of been on a theme here for 2 or 3 weeks now in the same vein. You stung me in the same area 2 or 3 weeks in a row. I say this, wash, rinse, repeat. Wash, rinse, repeat. And do it until it comes natural. That's the only thing I can say. You know, it's a lot of times, you know, I realize as a pastor, you only remember 5%. So if I repeat myself, sometimes it's because of my age, and other times it's because I know you're not going to remember it. I can tell you a joke that I said a year ago because you probably have forgot it. Or I did. Or I did. I forgot that I didn't tell. I told you already. So yeah, it works both ways. Wash, rinse, repeat. Do it till it comes natural. Come with a grateful heart. Do it until it comes natural. It's not going to be easy. I realize that. When it becomes natural, here's the thing that you're going to be able to see. God intervenes. And it's not that he wasn't there all the time, but when you wash, rinse, repeat, and when you start doing things until it becomes natural, when you approach God, you have a different attitude. When you come to God with your request, you find out that your request isn't, oh, you know, not all of it. He wants to hear your prayers, but all your prayers aren't, oh, God, it's me again. Oh, God, help me. It's, God, what do you want in my life? What do you want to see me do for the kingdom of God? How can I be a blessing to someone else? And when we come with that attitude, God seems to intervene. We realize that he intervenes more. When, you know, the truth is, when we allow God into our lives, it's not that he wasn't there all the time. We just noticed that he was there. Say amen. First point here, when are you to be thankful? You know, again, I'd be crazy if I said be thankful for everything, right? When you stop and think about it, you really have to look at it. But the Apostle Paul, and you'll hear me out for a second. The Apostle Paul tells us to be anxious for nothing and thankful in everything. And there definitely is a difference between being thankful in everything, and for everything. In everything means that we're going to see God intervene for our good. We're going to understand that no matter what, even though we're going through a hard time, that God will use that to better us. God will teach us. God will show us that we will be more the workmanship of God. We will have more of God's Spirit working in our lives. In everything means that we're going to trust God in those times that we don't see results. Say amen to that. When we don't see those results, when we don't, you know, we want to be prophets. We want to look ahead. We want to have the answers long before God wants to give us the answers sometimes, and we miss out because we can't see it. We think God can't do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Rejoice always. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Many times, all we do, and we don't mean to, but it happens, but many times all we do is give thanks when we have got something, or when God answers a prayer. But if you're going to take the context of these verses that the Apostle Paul's understanding was, that we are to be always joyful, always praising God. And the only way that you're able to do that, because you can't do that in yourself, amen? You cannot. You can fake it, but you can't do it. You cannot always be joyful without the joy of the Lord being in there, without the fruit of the Spirit working in our lives. Because if you're going to always be joyful, it's not going to be because of circumstances. It's going to be a lot of times in spite of our circumstances. Galatians 5:22 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control." What kind of world would we live in if people had the fruit of the Spirit living in them? You know what I mean? I mean, people are angry. So you say amen to that? People are angry right now. You know, you talk and you see this. I've talked to several people this week that are struggling in their faith. And I want to ask you, how much more faith would be in your life if more the Spirit of God was working in your life? If love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control was in your lives? And the only thing you could say, you know, is amen, thanks for coming. And we'd all head home, because it would be true if all of these things would be working in our lives, there would be a better life. And then I say this, and I say this in sincerity. Do we thank God for the pain in our life? Do we thank God for those times where it seems like things get worse? Do we thank God when the preacher hits me right between the eyes, and I know those words are from the Lord? And the answer has to be yes, if You're trusting God to work in everything that's going on in your life. You know, I'd be the first to say you're not going to be the one. Thank you, sir. May I have another? When those things are happening in your life that you don't like, that you can't control, but you know, you are saying, thank you, Lord, that I'm not doing this alone. Say amen to that. Thank you, Lord, that I'm not doing this alone. Thank you, Lord, that I sent your presence. Thank you, Lord, that even though I can't see it, I know somehow you're working. Thank you, Lord, that I know in a moment's time good can come out of this. You know, a lot of times we're one step away or one prayer away from God answering our prayer. And a lot of times we fall short. We give up. And right, a blessing is right around the corner, but we've given up. So why are we to be thankful? Because we don't know what God's doing in the darkness. We don't know what God wants to do. And in a moment's time, as dark as it can be, God can change a circumstance just like that. And some of us that are a little older than others and in our journey, we can see God doing amazing things. We can see God doing those changes, and we can be a testimony. We can be a light to some of those that are going through some of those hard times. Thank you, Lord, that I know in the darkness that you're still working. Thank you, Lord, that even though I can't see good out of this and it's a tough situation, I know, Lord God, in a moment's time that you can change it. Amen. Number two is, why are we to be thankful? The Bible teaches us that in the last days, people will be characterized by ungratefulness. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Instead of being hungry for God, most people are angry. You've been to the store lately? You've been behind the wheel of a car? You've been at the workplace? You see what the news is? All these people are angry. They're ready to fight. They're ready to hurt other people. We see it every day. And we see it every day in the life of the churches too. God calls us to be different. I've said it before, you're peculiar. Some of you are very peculiar. But he calls us to be different. He calls us to be different than the world. And it's amazing here. I'll talk sports for a second. It's amazing to me how someone can score a touchdown and do all the football dance and spin the ball and play hide and go seek around the goalpost and all the goofy things they're doing right now. That's their job. They're getting paid a lot of money to score touchdowns. So my thought is, act like you've been there before. I mean, they catch a 2-yard pass and they go squirming around and they act like they just set the world on fire. Somebody can walk into the end zone, nobody around to touch them, and they act like they just scaled a building. Act like you've been there before. And that's what Christ is telling us as a church and as a Christian. Act like you're a Christian. Act like you've been there before. Act like the Spirit of God is in you. Act like you're thankful for what God is doing in our lives. The best way to protect your heart is to keep yourself thankful. Amen? Keep yourself focused. And the best way to fail is to move away from God in those times that you're struggling. Those times that you feel unthankful. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Why are we thankful? Because it's the will of God, according to the word of God, the will of God in Christ Jesus for our lives. Amen? Years ago, when I was first getting into ministry, an old man in the church, I say old man because I, at the time, I thought he was older than Methuselah. You know, I thought if he told me his age, he had to be 100 and something. But this was in Corpus Christi, Texas. I was just getting into the ministry. I was just trying to find myself in a very large church, and all of a sudden he said, "Hey, can I talk to you a minute?" And he said three things to me, and I wrote them down, but I have in a special place of notes, I have it down too, because I've never really forgotten him or what he said. He said three things to me. He said, "Ministry is hard, and few make it without being hurt several times." You know, when you're first in the ministry, you think everybody loves Jesus just like you. You think everybody is going to be patient with you. And he said, "Ministry is hard, and few make it without really getting their heart ripped out." Then he said, "Scripture," I love this. He says, "Scripture is like a diving board where you launch into the deep." And I never forgot that, because I always pictured that you're on a diving board going deep in the Lord. And then he says this. He says, and didn't even blink an eye. He said, "You got to keep your heart open to God and his principles, and don't let circumstances dictate the way you feel." And I've never forgotten that. And that's good advice. Those things work. Because you will never be able to do spiritual battle for the Lord with an ungrateful heart, because you can't do it on your own. You will never see revival in your life or the life of the church with ungratefulness. Because we allow God to work in our lives. Here's what we're going to see. We're going to see that we've been overlooking our relationship with God, and we should desire to want it back. We should desire to be where we were, or at least maybe even for the first time get to a new spot. We should be able to seek renewal instead of being dead right. How many know that some people just like to argue? And even though the prize is nothing, they got to win. They got to be right. They will fight you just so they could be right. And sometimes God says, "You know what? Those kind of battles, all they do is cause hard feelings." All those kind, and you'll learn to know which battles to fight, which ones are meaningless, and which arguments are going to build the kingdom of God, and which arguments are going to tear down the kingdom of God. And he says, "You'll humble yourself, and you'll allow the Spirit of God to move in your lives. You'll allow the fruit of the Spirit in your life, even the ones you struggle with." Say amen. Whether you're struggling feeling loved, whether you're struggling for the peace of God in your life, whether you're struggling for joy, whatever part of the Spirit that you're lacking is where God wants you to intervene. Keep your heart open to it, allowing him to do these things in your life. One preacher said it this way, and I love this. He said, "The move of God in one service is the touch of the Spirit. Longer period of time would be a move of the Spirit. Extended time where God moves," and I love this, "where you just want to get out of the way." Anybody that's been a preacher or in leadership, when God begins to do these amazing things, here's the part. When there's a touch of the Spirit, there's a move of God, and then there's revival. When revival breaks out, all you are as a minister or the leader, just praying, "Get out of the way, don't mess this up, and allow God to do the revival in our lives." Amen to that. I want revival. How about you? I want God to do something fresh and new in my heart and in the heart of this congregation. Then I want that to flow into our families, into our workplace, and wherever God has us. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and confess their sins, then I will hear from heaven and I'll heal their land." It comes from humbleness. It comes from thankfulness. It comes from letting God into your life and working these things out. I have to share a story, a quick one. Back again, I was in Texas, and I was at the house by myself, and I was at the table, and I was studying God's word, and I can't remember if I was in school at that time or not, but I remember that I had a whole bunch of commentaries and my Bible open, and I was studying God's word, and I really wasn't expecting what happened. I began praying and I began reading God's word, and the fullness of God fell. I mean, it fell in a moment's time, And I, if you've never sensed the presence of God, you'll never understand what this is. But I began to weep, and I began to just cry out to God. I began to just praise Him because it was a moving of God like I've never had. And I don't know if I've ever had it as strong as that moment before. I've sensed God, and there's no way that I would ever deny God because I felt His presence. But that was a time, and I mean, that wasn't like, okay, I'm going to sit at the table and hear God, you just come, you just do this amazing thing. It was studying His Word, and God showed up. And I'm telling you that's what we need. That's the revival that we need for each one of us. That's the revival that we need in our church. That's the revival that we need in each one of our families. We need to just get before God and ask God for His presence to fall fresh on us, to change our attitudes, to change the way we're thinking, to change the way things are being done, allowing God to do these things. I didn't want Him to leave. I didn't want to mess it up. I didn't want to, you know, at that moment you start confessing any sin that you could possibly think of and asking God to intervene, asking God to do something, mighty. You get into the presence of God and you become grateful because it you just think, why me? God, why are you so good to me? Why would you do anything for me? And then I think of my past and I don't share a lot of that, but I just began at that moment thinking, God, why me? Sometimes we just miss out what God wants in our lives because we don't have those God moments. It's not that He doesn't want to give us those moments. He wants us to be in His presence. He wants us to understand what He wants to do in our lives. The truth is, if you're not thankful, see, we often say this, oh God, you know, if you would just bless me this way and to take care of this and do this, and if you would just change this person's heart, and if you would just give me this material things, then I could be thankful. But I want you to know something. If you can't be thankful with what you have right now, then you won't be thankful with whatever God has in store for you coming down the pike. And if you don't believe me, look at all these actresses and actors and sports people that have this abundant amount of money. They just fall apart. They're not thankful for anything. God can do a lot when we have the right heart. See, ungrateful is ungrateful. It doesn't have a dollar value. Say amen. Ungrateful is ungrateful. So if you would turn with me to Luke 17, I'm going to wrap this up here. Luke 17, I'm going to read verses 11 to 18. Jesus talking to 10 men with leprosy. Now on His way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. After He was going into the village, 10 men who had leprosy met Him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When He saw them, He said, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked Him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus said, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" So this morning, I want to leave you with this. 10 were healed. 9 quickly forgot what God did. Only 1 came back with a grateful heart to say thank you. And we'll close with this. Which one are you this morning? Which one do you want to be? You can always change. Which one are you? And which one do you want to be? And you can always change to be one or the other. Father, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. And as we go to Thanksgiving and this week, Lord, we are thankful. I pray that those families that are getting together would have a wonderful time, whether they're eating turkey or bologna sandwiches. Lord God, I pray that around that table there would be thanksgiving. Around that table would be love for each other. Around that table would be a time that we're grateful for what You've done in our lives. And Lord God, then I'm asking that You would pour out an abundant blessing. Lord God, praise brings victory. Thankfulness changes circumstances. And I'm praying, Lord God, that you would do that in our lives. All of us are at different journeys. All of us can relate at those times that we're down and out. All of us can relate for times that we struggle within ourselves, in our faith, in our relationship, and what we need to do and what we are doing. Each one of us have been there, Lord God. Help us, wherever we're at, to be all that you want us to be this morning. And we're going to give you praise. We're going to thank you for it. In Jesus' name.